All right, so if you got your Bibles, we'll stand one more time in chapter 15 of the book of John. So John chapter 15. Stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 15, I will not be lengthy. I will be brief. I've got pizza arriving at my house in 15 minutes, so I got... no. Not quite that brief, but I will not be lengthy at all. But let's go ahead and just take a couple of moments and look at God's Word. Let's read verse number 5. Let's read that all together. Verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come to your church, Lord, and on a great day, on the day that we recognize the independence that you've given our nation, Lord, able to come and freely worship in a church like this, Lord, that's what this country was founded for and upon, and we thank you for it, Lord. Bless the message, Lord, and bless the festivities the rest of the day. Love you and thank you in your name, amen. You can be seated. July 4th, as we're all aware, is a celebration of the day that we as a nation got our independence. Independence Day. I totally don't mind hearing people say Happy 4th of July, but I also enjoy just as much, if not more, people saying Happy Independence Day. And that word independence is a great, great word. Many brave patriots gave their lives to create a nation that was independent from any other. And I am grateful that they did. 6,800 people were killed in action. 17,000 dying of disease during the Revolutionary War. The price was great. When we look at other wars, we can see the numbers of deaths and a higher toll than that, but no one can argue that the price for our independence was great. It was a great price. People battled. They battled. They battled fiercely and without relent. They battled day in and day night for years. They battled because they knew that the cause was just and the cause was right. They battled for freedom. And this is the incredible part. They battled for freedom not only for themselves, but for their future generations, for you and I, and our children and grandchildren and the future generations after us. Without their battling, we wouldn't be here today. Now, America is not perfect. You and I both know that. Neither were our founding fathers. Yet without them battling, I emphasize that word battling, the way that they did, this country, the greatest country in the world, would not exist. Now, preacher mentioned earlier in the service earlier this morning that probably everybody, I know every child always says, well, my dad's the best or my school's the best or my team's the best. And I don't know. I've never grown up in another country before, but I don't know if they get up and say, well, our country's the best. But I think I can confidently say that we live in the greatest country in the world. With the largest economy in the world, America is the greatest country. With the most money, not only do we have the largest economy, but we have the largest money given away to other countries in charity. America leads that. We are truly the greatest country in the world. We have world-changing technology like airplanes. We're all thankful for airplanes. We're thankful for cars. We're thankful for computers. And we're somewhat thankful for the Internet. All of those things are because of America. All of those things are because of this country, the greatest country in the world. This country is one of the most intellectual places on the earth. 61 of the top 100 universities in the world are in America. The world's a big place. But 61 of the top 100 universities in the world are in this country. That's why I think it's the greatest country in the world. We've developed more cures for diseases than any other country. We were the first to land a man on the moon, a rover on Mars, to get detailed pictures of Pluto, the first to have a satellite leave our solar system, this country, the greatest country in the world. America. We have the highest entertainment and athletics in the world. I didn't know this. I'm a sports guy, and I didn't know this, and this blew my mind. We have 2,601 Olympic medals. Maybe we've gotten a couple more in the last couple of days. But 2,600. More than double, 2,601 Olympic medals. More people, and this might be the greatest reason that America, or argument for America being the greatest nation in the world. More people want to come to America than any other country in the world. No country has an influx of immigrants, whether by the means that they should come or not. No country has more influx of people wanting to join this nation than America. No other country. And that's not out of pride. I can't say that I did much to make America the great country that it is. That's not set out of pride. But this country, as we saw, if you saw the video earlier this morning, this country was founded on the Bible. It's indisputable. It's indisputable because of what we just heard, but it's also indisputable because of the way that it's been used and blessed. Only a country that's founded on the Word of God can be used and blessed like this country has. God has blessed it so. It's not perfect. We've had many problems, and we still have many problems. But there is a reason that people risk their lives to come here. There's a reason that people will get on rafts and trek across the ocean in efforts to get here. Because it's the greatest country in the world. And it would not be this would not be the case except people sacrificed and battled to make this nation independent. There was a battle for independence. Freedom has its benefits. To not have man ruling over you. To not have your family affairs decided by a man or a government for the most part. To have the freedom to choose. Many countries don't have the freedom to choose most of the needs that they want or need. We have that freedom to choose. Freedom is great, but it's not free. And when it comes to a nation, there could be nothing better than freedom. To have no foreign leadership dictating our lifestyle. To have the opportunity to educate the way that we desire. And to climb higher if we have the desire and the character and want to do so. To make something out of ourselves and beat the odds. Now, a lot of these people I'm going to mention aren't my favorite people in the world, but their stories truly are incredible. Bill Gates, his first business failed, yet he became a billionaire after that. In many countries, if you become a failure, you're stuck that way for life, but not in this great country. Michael Phelps, 15 years old when he won his first Olympic medal. 15 years old. He's won 28 total, 23 gold medals. Larry Bird, Allen Iverson, Derrick Rose, NBA legends, before they began their careers, were financially considered in poverty. A specific player, Jimmy Butler, his dad died at a young age. His mom kicked him out of the house at 13 years old. He was homeless before family took him in, and he was playing in a park, got a scholarship, and now plays in the NBA making millions of dollars. This is truly an astounding country, a great country. Now, money does not make a person valuable or even respectable. That's not what I'm saying. But I can't help but admire some of these people's resilience. And because they lived in a country like our country, they were able to make something out of a bad situation like they had. All that to say, America is great because of its independence. But as great as independence is for a nation, honestly, it's not ideal for the Christian. When it comes to the way that we live our life, independence is our natural way of living. The natural man inside of me wants to not follow any rules, not follow any guidelines, and just do what I think is best and do what I think is right in my mind. But that's not the best way to live. That's no way to live. In fact, as much as these patriots battled for independence, the Christian, you and I, we have a battle. We need to battle for dependence. We have a battle for dependence. This is a battle that is daily. It's constant. And we're up against the flesh, the devil, and the world. This battle is unrelenting, and it's impossible to win on our own. We all have a battle to face. And if we fail in fighting this battle, it could lead to our downfall, the battle for dependence. The battle for dependence. Our text, John 15, 5, says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. For without me, ye can do nothing. How often do we live our lives away from this verse? For without me, ye can do nothing. The fact of the matter is, we all battle keeping our life our own. We all battle struggling to give up the reins or to hand over the keys or to the controls over to the Lord. But the truth is, God wants us to depend on Him. God desires that you and I depend on Him. He wants us to depend on Him for our needs, for our wants, for our struggles, for projects that we're trying to get done, for our health, for our family, for our futures. God wants us to depend on Him. Well, why does God want us to depend on Him? Because one thing is, He knows He can solve our problems. He knows, God knows that He can solve our problems, so He wants us to depend on Him so we don't have to go through that unknowingly. We don't have to go through that and fail. He says, hey, just depend on Me. I'm asking you, I want you to depend on Me. And you won't have to worry about this. You can just depend on Me. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He knows how to solve your problem. Hey, maybe you got a problem going on in your life right now. Maybe you got something that when you're at church, you're able to kind of put it out of your mind and focus on the message. But the moment that you get home, it's just there. As soon as you get into the parking lot and you turn on your car and you're driving home, it comes back. Maybe we all have problems. We all have stuff that we're dealing with. Maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's just a problem at your work or at your job. Maybe it's something just internal. Well, God wants you to depend on Him. He knows how to solve your problem, and He wants you to depend on Him. Not only does He want you to depend on Him because He knows how to solve your problem, but because He can make your life better. Hey, think about this for a second. God knows us better than we know ourselves. We say that and we hear that often, but God knows us better than He knows ourselves. If there's something that I can do to make my life better, sometimes I can't figure it out. But God knows what that is, and He can help me. And if I depend on Him, He can make my life better. You know, we see this all the time. Some people, especially the teachers in the room, you know, some of your class, some of your pupils need different help than other pupils do. Some of the kids in the classroom might need some extra motivation. If you just give them that little nudge, they'll go on and boom, they'll take care of the problem. Some folks, they just need direction. You have to point them on the right path. If they're on their own, they're going to go down the wrong path. But if you get them on the right path, they're going to be okay. Some folks just need to be shown how to do things. We were talking about that in Sunday school today. Some people need to be shown how to do something. If you show them, they'll get it right every single time. Hey, we're all different. We all have different needs. We all have, and that's on a broad scale, but individually, God created each and every one of us unique. And there's no amount of books that we can read that can give us the right answer. There's no amount of processes that we can study up to make our lives successful and better, except there is one book, the Word of God. If we depend on this book, if we depend on God, He will make our lives better. Not only that, but God has earned our dependence. He planned out our path. We see that in Jeremiah 1:5. He gives us rest. We see that in Matthew 11. He sent His Son to die for us so that we could go to heaven. We know that. Not only that, but He gives us our breath. We see that in Isaiah. And He cares for us. We see that in 1 Peter. I won't take time to turn to it, but it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. To put ourselves in our proper place. So many times, I battle, and we all battle, getting up, going through our day on our own strength. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Depend on Him. He has earned our dependence. The next verse says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The verse after that talks about how the devil is our adversary, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And I don't think it's any coincidence that those verses are in that order, in that sequence. The devil is out to devour us. The devil, the best way that the devil can get us off track, the best way that the devil can be our adversary and devour us is to make us independent from God. Independent from God. It's a battle that we have to face day after day after day. Now, the world teaches today not to let anyone tell you anything. Dealing with the young people, and especially the young folks that come through the buses that go to our public schools, it's so prevalent. There's a young man that's going into the Christian school this year that I talk with regularly. He said that they had social educational learning, SEL class, every day, 5 days a week in the public school. He said the teacher would bring them in, the bell would ring, they do roll call. She'd bring the TV out, turn on CNN. 45 minutes later, the bell would ring and they'd all be dismissed. The world is teaching us today that not to let anybody tell you to do anything. Hey, if someone tells you that you're a boy but you think you're a girl, hey, you don't have to listen to them. Hey, if someone tells you that you're a girl but you really feel like you're a boy, you don't have to listen to them. Hey, if someone tells you that rules and laws are necessary to keep peace, you don't have to listen to them. You can do whatever you want to not worry about the consequences. Hey, if someone says that life is circumstantial, so to have an unborn baby killed in an abortion, that's just a proud statement of your choice. You can do whatever you want to do. Follow your heart. We know that that's not right. The Bible says that that's not right. The Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The world teaches you not to let anyone tell you anything, but to live your life however you want and you'll be happy. That's a lie from the devil. And even as an individual that goes to church 3 times a week, well, I go to church 7 days a week, but that's for a different reason, but goes to a church service 3 times a week, and even as a person that hears the preaching from the Word of God and that reads their Bible, we can still fall into the trap that we can live our lives independent from God. We don't need to be dependent on Him, but it's a battle that we must fight every day. We see examples in our Bible of people failing in that battle. I think of Samson. Right off the bat, we think of Samson. Samson's future was not, I don't think Samson lived the future that God wanted him to live. He had a purpose. He had a plan, but he lived independent, not dependent on God. He lost his might, his sight, and his future. Saul got independent from God, lost his hand of blessing and power. Goliath defied God openly. Openly was independent. He wasn't dependent on God. He lost his head. Nebuchadnezzar gave glory to himself. He lost his sanity for a short time. We can learn from these folks, and we can learn the lesson, and many, many more that I didn't even mention. We need to be dependent on God. As much as those patriots battled and fought for our independence, there is a battle that you and I must face every single day, every single moment, the battle for dependence, the battle for dependence. And real quickly, in just a couple of minutes, how to depend on God. Well, number one, dependence is done by abiding. He that abideth in me. 8 times in our text, chapter, it's chapter 15 of the book of John, the word abide or abideth or one of those types of words are mentioned. The word abide, after looking into it, I found meant more than just staying. That's what I thought abide meant. I think of, you know, this is my abode. This is just kind of where I am. It means more than that. To abide means to dwell or endure. To dwell or endure. And I think that both of these words, or believe it or not, the Bible chose the perfect word. Believe it or not, God wrote the perfect word down. And after studying it, I believe that both dwell and endure are perfect encapsulations of life. There are times when we need to dwell in God. When we go through the rigmarole of life, day in and day out, the decisions that need to be made. Every day we're having to make thousands of decisions. The plans that we have, the deadlines that we have to meet. Just all that goes into normal life, all that comes with life, we need to dwell with God. We need to make Him a part of our everyday life. The decisions that we make on a daily basis, is God a part of those decisions? God needs to be a part of our life. Then there's the word endure. Endure. There are times when we go through valleys. There are times when we go through storms. And there's a trial for which we don't seem to have any answers. And we might feel anxious, or we might feel nervous or scared, or lost, or fearful, or alone, or overwhelmed. In those times, as much as we need to abide in Christ, we need to abide in Christ in those times as well. We need to endure those times. Abide in Him. Dependence is done by abiding. Dependence is done by abiding. Stay in and with Him, and you'll always get through the storm and through the valley. We must depend on God, or else we'll fail. But in order to depend, we must abide. And in order to abide, we must obey. If you still got your Bible open, just go ahead and look at verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Obedience is the key to abiding with God. And that makes, when you think about it, that makes perfect sense. If I was to be invited over to one of your house, to your house, and I walked in and you said, "Hey, thank you for coming. If you wouldn't mind taking off your shoes, I'd really appreciate that." And I would say, "I ain't taking off my shoes. I can walk wherever I want. I'm independent. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to walk on your carpets with these shoes. And you know, I'm going to get them extra muddy while I do it." And then we sit down for dinner. And you prepared a meal, and I said, "Thank you for this." And I just start digging in with my hands. And you say, "Well, I got some silverware. I mean, you might try using that. That'd be good. You know what? I am dependent. I can make my own decisions. I know what's best for me. I don't need you to tell me that I need to use silverware." That's probably the last time that you're going to invite me over to your house. And if you did that at my house, I don't know how close of friends we'd be either, to be honest with you. I'm just being honest with you. If we want to get close to one another, if I want to get close to you and if I want to spend time with you, I'm going to follow some of the things that you asked me to do. If we want to get close to God and we come to His house and if we want to spend time with Him and get to know Him and get to be close friends with Him, we've got to obey what it is that He asks. Obey what it is that He asks. Obedience is a part of abiding. You cannot abide in Christ without obeying Him. He says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." Obedience is a part of abiding. And abiding is vital to depending. And depending is vital for a successful, happy life. So, obedience is vital. As we close, once again, we just have to realize that this is a battle. It's a battle that we face every day, every moment. And you know that. You fight the battle all the time. We fight the battle of the flesh, telling ourselves no. Telling ourselves no, I'm not going to be independent. I'm going to depend on Christ. Don't let the devil make you independent. Real quick, I don't fight for independence when I get on an airplane. When the pilot, you know, as you get on the plane, the pilot always says the route. He says, "All right, I'm going to take it up to 10,000. Then we're going to take it right by Seattle. We'll bring it down to 6,000 and we'll arrive right where we need to go." I don't stand up and I say, no. "Hey, wait, whoa, hey, bring that guy out here. This is where we're going to go." What a foolish thing. None of us have ever done that. What a foolish thing that would be to do. But realize that true peace is in depending. Captain Eric Brown, the Royal Aircraft Establishment in England, has flown 487 different types of aircraft. And as a record for the most landings, 2,407. Tell you what, if I get on his plane, I can have peace in depending on him. This guy knows what he's doing. He's done this many, many times, probably twice as many times as I've driven a car. This guy's driven a plane. I can depend on this guy. And that's just a man. We can have peace. Peace isn't in being independent. Peace isn't in figuring out how to... For a nation, that's the case, but for an individual... Peace is depending on the Lord. You can have happiness, joy, pleasures. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Fight the battle, obey and abide, and depend on God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Simple message. And in a time where we think about our nation's independence and the battle that was fought and the sacrifices that were taken, what sacrifices are we making to our flesh? What sacrifices are we making sometimes to our reason or our logic in order to make sure that we're depending on God? Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done with us today. Thank you for the message that we heard this morning. Lord, I ask that you just help us, help every person in this room, Lord. If there's a decision that needs to be made, Lord, I look across this room, but I know who's in my audience right now, but I'm not going to neglect the fact that there might be someone in this audience who's not saved, Lord. And maybe the message certainly wasn't about it, but maybe, Lord, you've been working on their heart, Lord. And if that's the case, Lord, if someone needs to make that decision, Lord, I pray that they'll make it today. But Lord, if there's a person out there who's been struggling, depending on you, I ask that you'll use the message in some way to speak to our hearts. We'll have a very brief invitation. And if the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, you can come forward as a piano player or pray in your seat as a piano player. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done in your house today. Lord, thank you for the consistency of our pastor to make this church what it is, and for the members that do so as well. Lord, I thank you for the independence that we have as a nation, Lord, but I pray that you'll help us to be dependent on you with our daily lives. We love you and thank you. In your name, amen.